FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's 10/16/18. Tomorrow is Legalization Day in Canada. We'll get more into that in a minute. As always, email us, kl@carrylutz.com, and be a part of the show. Well, Dan Amaduri is with us now, futuremoneytrends.com. And Dan, tomorrow, first, welcome. Tomorrow is Freedom Day in in the our neighbor to the north. I think their prime minister probably should be the first online, because he's had a stinging series of defeats, both at the hands of Donald Trump, the Saudis. I mean, this poor schmuck, pardon my French, can do nothing right here, Dan.
No, it would be. It's a good idea. Trudeau should take a few gummies tomorrow, once it's fully legal, and just relax. And you can not worry about NAFTA. Or what its position has put him in to fight China with Trump, or even the Saudi, or even, gosh, what was that viral video going around a few months ago? And him, I think he was in India as a tourist. Yeah. So weird.
Right. He was a tourist, dressed up like in his Bollywood finest for everything. And he looked like a total doofus. I mean, inauthentic, phony. And it totally showed, because, you know, you've been in media long enough. You can't fake it. If you're a fake, people figure you out sooner or later, usually sooner, in his case, later. But one good thing is that he did legalize cannabis there, and he set off an industry while he's busy putting all the other industries out of Canada, the car industry, the dairy industry, whatever other industry he turns his attention to. At least he has spurred the development of a new industry in Canada. Canada is the leader in the cannabis field.
It sure is. And that's where all the attention is right now. But this is going on globally. And we were talking about it a little bit before the call. But people should know that, you know, if you look to South America, you've got Jamaica, Colombia, Brazil, Peru, Argentina, Paraguay, Chile, Uruguay. These countries moving forward with legalization, some like Colombia and Jamaica with full legalization, others like Brazil with the implementation of medical cannabis in Chile. To Europe, you've got full legalization happening in Germany and the Netherlands. And then you've got some fairly advanced like medical dispensaries in Italy and Greece, Czech Republic, Portugal. Others out there are Spain, Finland, I mean, United Kingdom, Poland. But then in Italy and Greece, it's kind of a race to who's going to be actually first to go full recreational, the next one. And then Africa, South Africa just announced they'll be doing a legalization for rec. But then you've also got Zimbabwe. You've got some legalization laws that are for medical in Israel. As well as even Turkey. So, I mean, look, and then the United States is just one country, but think about it, it's a fairly large country. And, you know, you've got California and a bunch of states. I think we're up to like 29 states where there's some form of legalization. Right. But even here in Texas, where I am, we've now opened up a few medical dispensaries just in the last year.
In Texas?
So, goodness. There's just no stopping this. And Mexico, by the way, I didn't mention that because Canada is getting all the attention, but Mexico is also doing medical legalization. And of course, there's already a bill to legalize it with rec. And I've heard that the Trump administration is talking about possibly pushing for this with the reelection campaign.
Well, it just makes so much sense. Look, two-thirds of the country or something has done it at some time or another. And you have to think, well, you know, maybe the majority of the people are really against this prohibition. And as more and more states go legal, it should be a states' rights issue, right? I mean, it should be the states decide what they want, whether they want it legal or illegal. There's been no pronounced serious health issues. There are health issues, of course, with chronic use and abuse, like anything. But when you compare it to alcohol consumption, alcohol is a far more dangerous drug than cannabis on virtually any level. And alcohol has very few medical uses. Ethyl alcohol, I mean, I don't remember ever having been treated with the ethyl alcohol in my life. You ever been treated with it?
No. I know over 80,000 people. I saw it on the those infographic guys. I can't think of what they're called, but they do these great infographics. And they had one the other day that was on their Twitter feed that showed that like 88,000 people a year in the United States die from some sort of related illness from alcohol.
Of course.
And then for cannabis, it was at zero. And I can give you a perfect example. Actually, I was just in Vegas about 2 weeks ago, and I was in New York just over the weekend, just this past few days here for a Tiffany's gala. And in Vegas, I had purchased some cannabis and I felt relaxed during the evening, and then, you know, went to bed, woke up in the morning and felt great. Like nothing ever happened. Went to breakfast. In New York, you know, I only drank alcohol, and, you know, I had to drink a lot of alcohol to even try to get a buzz, just because I probably have a higher tolerance. And in the morning I felt like crap. It took me like, you know, the whole day. Like I had like the acidity in my chest and stomach, and I didn't feel good. And I didn't eat till like 2 PM cause I just didn't, I wasn't up to it. And that's the difference. And that's why as soon as it's legal in Texas, I would prefer to do cannabis over alcohol any day.
Yeah. Hey, same here. Same here. Not that I would break the law or anything like that, but I just, when I drink alcohol, I stopped really drinking wine because I would wake up the next morning and just not want to get up. So I drink like a little bit of vodka here and there, try not to do it more than a couple times a week. And, you know, it's just, but, you know, I've been celebrating my daughter's wedding. That was a 5-day thing, and kind of started drinking on Thursday or Wednesday and didn't stop drinking till I got on the plane on Sunday. And, you know, it's just, look, the impetus against cannabis, it was all a big phony war. It was the Gulf of Tonkin resolutions of drugs, because, oh, it's going to turn kids into rapists and black men are going to rape white women, reefer madness, all that stuff. And it was all a big, gigantic lie, Dan. But back in those days, back in the 20s, the 30s, you actually trusted your government. You actually believed what they told you, but they have been lying to us, Dan, forever. That's the purpose of government, is to lie to the people in a convincing manner to get them to believe something that isn't true, to get them to believe that it is. I mean, that's what government does best.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's no coincidence that when alcohol prohibition ended, that's when cannabis prohibition started.
Yeah.
Even though all the pharmaceutical companies came out publicly against making it illegal because they were using it in medicines. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they also, if it's interesting, if you actually look at the old newspapers from like 100 years ago or 75 years ago, it was called cannabis.
Yes.
Just like, but that's kind of new to us because they've been calling it marijuana.
Yeah.
And again, marijuana was linked to like, hey, look, it's these dirty Mexicans bringing up these drugs and getting our little white kids sick. And, you know, it's all bogus. Yes. It's ridiculous. It's a plant. It's much healthier than any prescription drug you can ever take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, the least side effects, and I don't believe that it's going to necessarily cure cancer. I mean, you know, come on. But I think it does have certain beneficial effects, like treating migraines. There's nothing better for treating a migraine than cannabis. And yes, you're correct. They changed the name of it because it was a racial thing against Mexicans. And, you know, it's just done. They've ruined so many thousands of people's lives in pursuit of this really illegal prohibition. And they've just really created this war on drugs, which anytime the government proclaims or declares a war, you better watch out, because you could be on the wrong side of that war very easily.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking when you think about it. Like, you had President Bush, President Clinton, and President Obama all admit to smoking weed. I think Bush even admitted, and Obama, to cocaine. But yet, they were able to become presidents. But how many millions of young poor kids who couldn't get a good attorney are sitting in jail right now, or worse, prison, for doing the same thing that somebody who ultimately became U.S. president. And the unfortunate thing that those kids who actually go to jail, as you know, it scars them for life when it comes to getting a job. Mm-hmm. And it tilts their life to where they might end up choosing a life of further crime because they can't work. They have a stigma. Nobody wants to hire them except to, you know, drive a forklift. And and it's just very unfortunate that we've literally altered people's lives.
Construction,
and this is it's an illusion. There is nothing wrong, inherently wrong, with cannabis. That stigma has all been put in our head. It's fake.
Yes, totally fake. It's the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. Like, yeah, Vietnam was really going to attack the United States because they just wanted to have a war with us, right? Oh yeah. So it's got to be it. There can't be any other explanations, can there? It's ridiculous, you know? And you see what's happened, you know, hundreds of thousands of people incarcerated, arrested, fined. It's been great for lawyers. You know, your lawyer is specializing in drug law. These were the golden years, but fortunately that's coming to an end. So when you look at it, though, like, look, marijuana literally grows on trees, not on trees, on stalks. But for our purposes, pot grows on trees. So you got to be really careful when you're picking companies to invest in, because if they just are good at growing stuff, big deal. We got a million farmers around the world who are getting subsistence wages right now who are dying to jump into the cannabis space, and they'll be able to grow it as good as anybody.
Yeah, growing it is not a moneymaker. The money is in the products and the branding. If you can have a brand that dominates, or if you have a good strain or product that you can license to other states, that's the easiest way to go cross borders. If anybody's interested in learning about those, over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be profiling four different companies that I have identified for my own personal investments. And you just go to futuremoneytrends.com. It's free to sign up, and you'll get those probably every Sunday or Monday. But, you know, in the near term, though, I would tell everybody this for the investing in it. I think we have been in a mania for the past 60 days. And I don't think we're at that. We're definitely not at the Bitcoin mania of November of 2017. But I'll tell you this. When I left JFK on Friday, my driver was asking me about cannabis stocks. Had no idea, you know, what I do or anything. We starts talking about cannabis stocks. When I was walking by the newsstands, I noticed a few different ones with cannabis on the front, especially Bloomberg was the one that stuck out. And then today, right now, if you go to MarketWatch, now because of the cannabis legalization, and of all things, I'm seeing newsletters now send emails out last 2 days that you need to get in before the legalization date. That's true, but that was like 6 months ago. Tomorrow, buying today and buying tomorrow, unless you're buying a new company that has a good value or a company that was beaten down for some reason, but that's kind of hard in this market. Everybody's kind of gone up 3 to 5 times.
Right.
I would say that you should definitely be considering taking profits, because I think there's going to be some great buys in November and December, because I think we kind of have reached a little bit of mania phase. And the old saying is, buy the rumor, sell the news. And the rumor part has been the last 6 months. The news is tomorrow.
Yes, very, very true. You see this over and over again. You saw it with the cryptos. You see it with the precious metal stocks. But the cycles keep turning. And I think there'll be like a glut of stocks. And then we'll have a real cooling off period, might last 4 to 6 months, maybe even a year. And then it will go back up, because this is an emerging marketplace. It's kind of, in many ways, like the birth of the internet back in the late 90s, early 2000s. So it's going to keep on cycling, and companies will come and go. The ones that are really the good marketers are going to succeed. I don't see Big Pharma getting involved with this, because they got too many problems of their own. And really, prescription drugs is such a huge, you know, it's $1 trillion marketplace globally, or close to a trillion. It's just they don't seem real anxious. Yes, the alcohol companies could get involved. I could see that. You know, we already saw Heineken buy, what was it, Canopy.
Constellation Brands, rather.
Yeah.
Yeah. Miller's involved.
Yes. So that makes sense for them. The tobacco companies who probably have the best expertise for this are just staying away for now. So, but there will come a point.
Yeah, no, we did. We did see one, I think, Altura the other day make an announcement. But yeah, no, it's going to happen. But they really want the U.S. to be legalized. I can tell you this. You know, I also run a marketing company that markets the stocks that I cover. And one of them paid me. And because the name cannabis was in the name, Bank of America actually closed my account and I had to open up an account somewhere else. Yeah. So you people have to consider that I'm a little guy who had to deal with that. Imagine if you're Merrill Lynch or an institution, you just don't want to touch this stuff right now too much because of the fact that you do not want any major problems from FDIC or the government or the IRS Fed. Of all people. So people or these institutions that, but you can imagine it's like Doug Casey talks about the Hoover Dam trying to go through a garden hose. Well, that's what potentially is waiting. So I agree. The bull market for cannabis, it'll go on for the next 5-10 years. But this mania that we're all in right now, it's definitely topped out in my opinion. And one other thing I was going to mention, you talked about new stocks coming. That's another sign. I remember in January of this year, I was told that there was like 58 new blockchain companies coming on the TSX Venture and the Canadian Stock Exchange, the CSE. And sure enough, that was definitely the top. And just last week, I was talking to our mutual friend, Keith Neumeier.
Sure.
And he told me he had just left a meeting and he was talking to some venture capitalists and they were telling him that there's like 55 cannabis companies coming online over the next 3 months. And I was like, wow, what talk about
Kiss
it's all
death.
There. The signs are all there that we're definitely looking at a short term top.
Yeah. Kiss of death for sure. When you see that many people rushing to the marketplace and it is a rush because they know it, you know, they know the deal. They know that in 90 days, people could be dumping cannabis stocks like they were blockchain stocks, right?
Sure. And they're all speculative and it won't take much dollar volume to have them have a pullback of 50%. But that's okay because that's just a normal bull market and normal cycle. But, you know, look, you buy the right companies in November and December. And look, I mean, you hold on to them for 3 to 5 years. I mean, look at Canopy Growth of all things. That thing was $3 not too long ago. I don't even know how much it is now. It was like $60 when I was in Italy a few weeks ago. I mean, this thing is, you know, the potential is there, but you want to have those serious players. And right now, gosh, for every one serious player, there's like at least 100, you know, I don't want to call them pump and dumps because they're probably not all pump and dumps, but just, you know, not the right management team, not the right deal, not serious enough, no ability to raise money, no marketing know-how to get their brand out or even their stock awareness out. So you really have to be very disciplined in this Wild West sector.
Yeah, it is the Wild West, and you got to take your profits quickly when they come. Don't wait around for the stock to go to 150. You know, hey, at least if the stock triples, doubles, triples, quadruples, sell half of it. All right.
Absolutely.
Get a free ride because in this market, you make the money. Yes, you do make it when you buy. That cliche is true, but you keep it when you sell. And if you don't sell, you won't make it. You won't be able to keep it. That's like guaranteed, dear Dan, you know?
It's so true. And it happens to so many investors. And look, I'm telling, and as I met more and more of these more sophisticated investors, every time they see strength and a stock rally hard, they're always selling. It's the crowd that is chasing it. Don't be part of that crowd. So, but at the same point in time, on the flip side, talking about like some totally talking about a different topic, but like gold, where you have something where nobody wants it. It's like, this is the time to buy. You should be selling marijuana and buying gold right now.
Yeah. Sell pot, buy gold. That's the,
but it's just not exciting. You know, you're going to have to sit there and watch the pot people make money for who knows how long. And then the gold, your downside is almost nil, but you don't know. I mean, look, nobody knows. I mean, gold could pop in 2019 or it could pop in 2021. But the nice thing about gold is that it's really cheap. It's a cheap, unloved, hated asset. And it's starting to get into an uptrend too, which is a really nice thing to see. As Steve Sugarrood often talks about, you need those three things: hate it, in an uptrend. And I can't think of what his third one is. I'm like Rick Perry, Commerce Department, EPA.
That's funny. But yeah, you need a certain setup in a market. I've seen it many times in many different commodities. You know, back in the like late 80s, early 90s, you couldn't give sugar away. It was selling for like less than it cost to grow sugar. And all of a sudden, one day it went up to 18 cents a pound. And nobody could believe it. You know, they were so shocked. But but you can't be shocked because, you know, this is the way markets work. And seen it with oil, you know, oil was in the dumps. Gold was in the dumps for a good, like, from 1987 to 1999. It was in a bear market. So, you know, this is just the way it happens. Anyways.
I'll tell you one thing, Kerry. When the U.S. announces that there's going to be some sort of pathway to legalization federally, You're definitely better pray to God you have some stocks that are cannabis, because I can only imagine if the U.S. Congress talked about having some sort of bill, or the president really came out strongly saying he wanted one, I can only imagine this sector, the whole sector, would double or triple.
Yeah, that's for sure. No question about it. And perhaps you don't remember, but this song, I'm going to play it a little bit for you right now. Listen. So that song, sure, that's what we're all going to be playing, because Happy Days Are Here Again was the theme song of FDR's 1933 campaign. And just like Born in the USA was somebody's, and I don't remember what Trump's was, but this was FDR's. And they weren't talking about the economy getting better. They were talking about end of prohibition against alcohol, end of the war on alcohol. And everyone was a lot happier when FDR got elected. Even if the economy sucked for another 10 years, didn't matter. Alcohol was freely available. That's what we're going to be playing here in a couple of months, I predict. Even what will happen is the feds will change the schedule. It'll no longer be marijuana. Cannabis will no longer be a Schedule I dangerous drug, you know. You know, narcotics and dangerous drugs. It will no longer be considered that. They'll take it off, and that will leave it up to the states to do what they please. States being criminal, rapacious enterprises who want to get all the money they can. They'll legalize it because they believe they'll have a financial windfall. Hey, you know, one thing that's happened we didn't talk about, Dan, is the fact that it's legal in all these states has changed the dynamics of the smuggling business. People no longer are anxious to meet up with the DEA crossing the borders. Instead, they go to Colorado and rent a Ryder truck and transport it to Illinois or New York or wherever. That's what's happening here on a huge scale. So drug tourism and intra-country smuggling have become the big themes in America now. And hey, we're going to see more and more of it, no doubt. So keep your eyes open on the cannabis stocks. But if you got profits, it's a good idea to take some of them now so that you have a free ride. So when it really comes around, you got money to invest on the ones that will really be the emerging kings of the market.
Absolutely.
So, hey, futuremoneytrends.com. That's where you find Dan's work. It's free. Just go there, sign up for the subscription. You get the newsletter. And Dan's stock picking record been pretty impressive over the years. You know, hey, it's not fair to look at a stock that he said to buy in January of 1 year and then look at it 3 years later and say, oh, that stock is tanked. No, it's like when he recommended it, what happened shortly thereafter, and could you have made a profit? You know, that's what it's about.
You have to take profits, and you also have to consider that these deals have two things. They'll have a momentum with the underlying business, and then they have the building business part. And that's what nobody wants to stick around for. It's like, let's take a company like First Mining Gold. It went from 27 cents to $1.30. Now it's back at like 35 cents. Okay, so you could have made some money, and maybe you still held on to it. But here's the deal. if you held on to it, you're with me. You're shoulder to shoulder with me, because I held on to it too. Because the real profit from a company, any of these type of deals at Future Money Trends, is the actual building of the business and them having either an exit strategy or a listing to an upgraded exchange like NYSE, where now it becomes an institutional play. But you know, in the end, you know, you have to make those decisions for yourself.
Yes, of course, it always comes down to what you decide to do. But the fact of the matter is, there are good plays out there. There's good money to be made, and you got to start someplace. So start where with somebody that's won for you before and will probably win for you again. Anyway, we got to run. Hey, just send us emails. Be a part of the show. KL@KerryLutz.com. Twitter feed @KerryLutz. And the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. And if you're YouTubing, click subscribe, click share, click notify. Dan, we'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.